That was outstanding ministry, and I hope you were affected by it as much as I was. I wish I enjoyed communion with the Lord more than I do. And for those of us who have been saved over many years, we have learned that this idea of walking with the Lord is not an automatic thing, something that requires diligence day by day. So I have a message actually in God's grace that follows along with what we've been hearing. And so I'd like to read with you in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and I'm just going to read some snippets through these final chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, and then we'll expend some more time in the last chapter, in chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Turn the page to verse 14, please. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. Chapter 32 now and verse 48. Chapter 32 and verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Chapter 33 and verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And in the bulk or the body of this chapter, he enumerates blessings individually for each of the tribes of Israel. And then in verse 26, he summarizes this great blessing that he is pronouncing. Deuteronomy 33 and 26, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. That is another name for the nation of Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in the sky, and in his excellency in the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Now, the bulk of my reading will now be in chapter 34. And verse number 1, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea in the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he... And you should notice that the preceding noun is the Lord. He, the Lord, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force, his vigor abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 10 is an extraordinary verse. And there arose not a prophet since, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. A few weeks ago in Stark Road, I was speaking in ministry about the importance of finishing well. We were using, by way of illustration, two men from the book of 2 Chronicles, a man named Joash and a man named Josiah, two young men that were thrust into kingship at the ages of 8 and 9 years old. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that, but the fact of the matter is that they were surrounded by godly men, and in one case, godly women. They were well-trained. And the point that we were making is that so long as they heeded not only the advice of godly men who mentored them and guided them, so long as they obeyed the word of God that was brought to bear on them, their lives were really lives of blessing, not only for themselves personally and their families, but also for the nation of Israel. The sad thing is this. When they became old, they rejected the word that they had once received. And what had started out so brilliantly, what had started out so faithfully with so much fidelity to God, His word, and His people, then ends in disobedience and sin. And the point that I was just trying to make in a very simple way is the point that it's good to have a great start, but it's wonderful to have a good finish. I'm stirred to talk about this today because I look around and the majority of people are not my age or anything approaching that. There's a lot of young people here. And I am so grateful to God for the good start that you have had. God has brought you under His word. God has saved you by His grace. Many of you are baptized and some in the local assembly. And you have been taught and you have been instructed by people who love you and care about your future and care about your souls. You've had a good start. The challenge that we need to address, and Peter's already been going on this point, and I just hope that I don't take away from what he has said. The thing is, it's not the start. The start is necessary. The issue is the finish. And I would be less than honorable with you if I didn't tell you that failure in the end of life is not inevitable, but it is possible. And we all need to be very much aware of the possibility of this in our life. The Apostle Paul himself worried about that. He said, you know, now that I've preached to other people, you know, I discipline myself, lest having preached to others, I might be disapproved. Thankfully, he was a man who had a good finish. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want to look today, just for a few minutes, from the life of Moses, about the finish of a faithful man. That's the title. And if you could get that title just down in your head, you'll have most of what I want to say. The finish of a faithful man. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to disabuse you of one idea. And that is just that this is going to be some old man message about people who are getting ready to die. Here's the reality. I believe in the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality, according to the scripture, is just this, that all of us are just one breath, one shout away from the finish line. And I don't know about you, But the more I hear about what's going on in our world, and the more I see the things that are happening. You know, when I was a little boy, I read the book of Revelation, and I sort of said to myself, you know, is this real? I can't imagine how any of these things could take place. Would you mind if I told you that I don't know of one thing in the book of Revelation that I cannot understand readily to take place? The stage is set. The world has ripened for judgment. And Jesus is coming. And so if you're 15 or 50 or, you know, the age of Peter, you know, the finish line may be far closer than we think. My prayer today is for myself, first of all, that God would help me to have a good finish. My prayer for you would be that you would be like Moses. And in this final day of his life, he is found to have finished well. I want to say a few things about Moses, first of all. It almost goes without saying that this man Moses was a very remarkable man. He was, as someone wrote in a commentary I read one time, he was a child of destiny. He had the stamp and the call of God upon him. And it's very interesting to me that he's actually mentioned more times in Scripture than any other Old Testament character. Someone has calculated that Moses is mentioned some 700 times in the Scripture. And the Lord Jesus spoke about him, and Paul spoke about him, and the writer to the Hebrews devoted a huge section of chapter 11 to the life of Moses. And I like what we read at the end of chapter 34, because this is God's evaluation of this great and faithful man. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew. Face to face. You know, there are many significant characteristics in the life of Moses that we could talk about. Moses was a man of prayer. We often think about Daniel in the lion's den, and we think about Nehemiah building the wall, men who were great examples of prayer. But just if you would, just take some time and read through the Pentateuch and discover that this man Moses was truly a man of prayer. He was a man of dependability. God trusted him with the stewardship and the care of his people. He was faithful in all of God's house. He was a man who was a humble man. Numbers chapter 12 tells us that he was the meekest man on all the earth. And I just let that sink in. You know, we often associate leadership. Here in the United States, we seem to think that in order to be a leader, you have to be bombastic and proud and arrogant. Well, I want to tell you that the greatest leader I've ever read about, apart from the Lord Jesus, was a man who was filled with incredible humility and grace. I want you to think about his courage. He stared down the most powerful man in the world. He looked him in the eye and he said, "Let my people go." And if you're struggling like me to have the courage to hand somebody a tract, I want you to think about Moses. Moses was a man of incredible bravery. He was a man of remarkable leadership. He was shepherding over 1 million people through a wilderness, aiming for a land that they had never seen. I think the expression herding chickens comes up when I read this story. What an impossible task. And yet God entrusted him with the leadership of these people. I might mention a little about his faith. He was a man, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, that faith led him to renounce Egypt's fame. Faith led him to refuse Egypt's pleasure. Faith led him to recalculate Egypt's values. He esteemed the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He was a man who rejected Egypt's politics. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Somebody wrote about that text, something I'm just going to quote it for you, by the way, because I like it so much. They wrote this: he feared the king so little because he feared God so much. I think that is beautiful. I hope you can remember that. His faith led him to reject Egypt's religion, They had no use for the lamb, and they had no use for the blood. But by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. And I don't have time to go on with the life of Moses. So many features, so many stories, so many wonderful things about it. But now we have come to the final day of Moses' life. And to be truthful with you, I really don't know of anybody else in the Scripture apart from the Lord Jesus whose life's end is described in such amazing detail. The possibility that pops into my mind while I'm up here is possibly the death of Elijah perhaps might rival this, but we are blessed with a rich insight into this man on the final day of his life. He lived 120 years. It's very interesting that when you come to Psalm 90, which is the psalm that Moses wrote, he wrote about God in his estimation of time. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 1,000 years in thy sight are but a day. But then he wrote about the human lifespan. And he said that our days are passed away. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, so teach us to number our ways. But here was a man that didn't live merely to be 70 years old, even though he wrote about it. He didn't just live to be 80 years old, but God in his grace preserved him to a remarkable age of 120 years. But as we have read, God now informs his faithful servant that his days of service, his days of life, are going to come to an end. And one of the things that has really impressed me as I've been meditating on these verses, there's no resistance on the part of Moses. We have read that his strength was great. He was still had plenty of vigor. I assume that means intellectually and physically, like Caleb in another section, he was still strong. But when God said it was time to go, Moses simply bowed to the will of God. And I think that this is a very important lesson for all of us. You know, if we knew that this was the final day of our life, how might we act differently than we are just now? I'm going to take up Peter's thoughts for a minute. Are there things between me and God that might need to be resolved? Is there unconfessed sin? Is there a failure to worship him and to obey him as we should? What about unresolved things between myself and my spouse or my family? It's a sad business when we don't deal with those things as they arise. We don't take care of our relationships. What about things between us and the Lord's people? Are there apologies that need to be made? Are there things that ought to be said that have gone unsaid? If we knew that this was the last day of our life. I want to just pick up a couple of things here about the last day of Moses' life. And I haven't got time at all to elaborate any of them in any sort of detail, but I'm just going to give them to you. And I hope it touches you the way it's touched me, because I have really been moved and inspired and corrected by the last day of Moses' life. Number one, Moses' last day was spent in glorious company with God himself. This subject that we've been listening to about communion with God is not just a subject for the child of God. It's the subject. I don't care what you know about theology. If you don't know God, you don't know anything. I don't care how busy you are engaged in service. If you're not enjoying communion with God, dear brother, dear sister, go back to the beginning. Build the foundation. Communion with God lies at the foundation of every faithful Christian life. You know, this was a man, in Numbers 12, it's very interesting because we read in Deuteronomy 34 that he knew the Lord face to face. Now, the Bible is not saying that Moses saw God in the fullness of his glory. That's not possible. The Bible clearly tells us that no man has God seen God at any time, but he saw the form of God. He really entered into some of the glory that surrounded God. But there's another verse in Numbers 12, and I've never heard anybody really minister about this. It just says this. It doesn't say that I saw him face to face. It says I speak with him mouth to mouth. Now, there's nothing impure about this in any possible way. The idea is just this, that Moses was a man who was not merely enjoying the presence of Christ. He was a man that was enjoying communication with Christ. That's what lies at the root of the word communion, doesn't it? It's communication. And, you know, this is the thing that I really want to cultivate in my own life. More and more, this idea of consciously living in the presence of God. The other morning, we were sitting at John Prince's breakfast table, and he read from a psalm. It was Psalm 16. And I think I've read it in a lot of different translations, but I had never heard it in the one that he read. The one that I'm most familiar with is, you know, I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. This is what John read. And I'll tell you what, he may not have seen me jerk, but it really got my attention in a hurry. I keep the Lord in mind always. That was excellent, John. It does not mean, for example, that Adam and Eve, the only thing that they were thinking about is just God. That every machination in the Garden of Eden was just all God. Enoch, I hear people talking about Enoch, and you'd think he was some kind of a moonbeam wandering around like some sort of a hippie. No, not at all. I think Enoch had a job. Enoch had a family. Enoch had all of the busyness of life, but he lived in present consciousness, in constant consciousness, that God was there. And when he spoke, God answered. And when God spoke, he answered. Noah walked with God. I wonder, I'm just going to pick up Peter's challenge again. Are we living, supping at his table? Are we living in communion with him? And so I want to just ask the hard question, and all of you who know me, know that I can't help myself, but if Christ came right now, would he find me walking in communion with himself? All of you. If he came right now, would he find you in a condition of communion with him? I hope that even though I intend to talk for another 5 minutes, if you cannot answer that in the affirmative, just close me down for a second and have a conversation with heaven. Find your soul restored and reinvigorated in his presence. Just have a little conversation with him. You know, some of us make a practice, and this is not a matter of boasting in any way, shape, or form, but before we get out of bed in the morning, before our feet hit the cold floor, start our conscious day in communion with the Lord Jesus. Doesn't have to be a great big prayer loaded with these and thous and capital letters and quotations from the book of Ezekiel. Doesn't need to be that. But would it be so hard to just say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Keep me from sin. Help me to walk with you today. Amen. Your day and your life would be transformed because God wants you, like Moses, to live in communion with him. Second thing I want to mention is the way that this man left God's people. I didn't read about it, but I'm going to summarize it like this. He left God's people with a song and with a blessing. I was on an airplane recently, and I enjoy flying. The only thing I don't enjoy about flying is I don't like the movies that the people in the next seat like to watch. And unfortunately, the airlines have become very lax in their standards, and I see things sometimes that, or at least glimpse of things sometimes that I wish I had not seen. There was a man watching a movie next to me, and I only saw the title, and then I went back to the book I was reading. It was called Grumpy Old Men. I have no idea what it's about, but here's the point. What's my relationship with God's people? How would that relationship be assessed at the judgment seat of Christ if right now was the final day of my life? Am I just the guy who shows up at meeting with a frown? Am I the guy who listens to the preachers and has criticisms for each one of them? I don't care if it's me, but leave these other brethren alone, please. Are you the person that the children take a long detour around the cookie table to avoid? Are you the last person in the assembly that they would approach if they had a spiritual problem? I'm not trying to be silly, but I love the way that Moses left God's people. Like Mordecai, he was great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. When I was a young preacher, I did a lot of weddings. Some of you are here. Recently, I've been doing a lot of funerals. You can figure out what that means. But the fact of the matter is, it's a great joy. It's a great joy to speak at the funeral of a brother or sister who closes out their life in warm fellowship with fellow believers. I'm not kidding around, folks. This is a matter of great significance to God. And on the final day of Moses' life, he was enjoying daily communion with God. But I'll tell you something else. He was enjoying daily communion with the Lord's people. Oh, that God would exercise our heart in this way. Thirdly, the last sight of Moses was a vision of Israel's longed-for home and blessing. That must have been quite a thing, Moses talking to God. And God just saying to Moses, Moses, look at this. You're not going to go in there. And some of you know the typical truths that are associated with this. The law was not able to carry them over the Jordan and all of that sort of thing. We'll leave that to the side. But I just love what God did for Moses. He just said, Moses, look. That's why I'm glad it says that his eye was not abated. He got a good, full, in-focus view of the future that God anticipated for his people. Let me ask you, are you just living in the present moment? I'm thinking now particularly of your family, perhaps, or of assembly testimony. Or are we living with an eye to the future? I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking because I need to sit down. Assembly's testimony is not an automatic. There's nothing automatic about this. I sometimes, when I'm full of something, I say that assembly testimony, you know, could fail in the next 5 minutes. What I mean by that is there's nothing automatic here. Failure and sin and the flesh and the devil all can conspire to bring testimony crashing down. I love men and women who have an eye to the future. Mothers and fathers who raise their children in the fear of the Lord so that they will be saved and baptized and in assembly fellowship. Assembly overseers who have gospel meetings so that people will be saved and added to the assembly. Men and women in the assembly who instruct younger generations so that there will be a land for them to possess. You see, I want there to be an assembly for my grandchildren if the Lord doesn't come, and for my great-grandchildren and for future generations. That will not happen automatically. May God help us to be like Moses on the final day of his life, looking out at the future and imagining the blessing of God's dear people. I'll just summarize very briefly what I have at the end. The end of this great leader was sad. They mourned him for 30 days. But it was no emergency. You see, Moses had done his job well. He had trained his young protege, Joshua. And reading, actually, reading Deuteronomy 34, it's just seamless. Moses dies, and Joshua, the son of Nun. They didn't pull the fire alarm. They didn't dial 911. Oh, Lord, what's going to happen next? So carefully and so thoroughly had Moses, the man of God, prepared for the future that when he died, no emergency. The testimony went on smoothly throughout the life of Joshua, the man that Moses had prepared. He invested in others to forward the work that he had begun. And of course, you will remember the words of the Apostle Paul, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. You have followed my teaching. As for you, continue in what you have learned. Let's not hang on to our own prestige or our own influence. Let's prepare others to succeed and to exceed what we have ever done for God. This is the secret of the last day of the life of this faithful man. One last thing, and I'll be done. Moses will be remembered for eternity, not merely as the great prophet and the great leader, but he's going to be remembered as the great worshiper. You say, where did you pull that out from? Well, I pulled it out of Revelation chapter 15. That's a left hook, isn't it? Because this is what they do in heaven. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Isn't that sweet? The last mention of this man in our Bible. Maybe I'll be there singing with him. I hope I am. The man that left this world unable to enter Canaan, at the transfiguration at the side of the Lord Jesus and Elias, able to stand gloriously with him in that day. But best of all, it's not Nebo, and it's not transfiguration. This is heaven, alongside of the Lamb, singing praises to him. I hope this little message on the final day of a faithful man will inspire our hearts to greater communion with the Lord Jesus, to end our lives in a good relationship with God's people, and end our lives preparing future generations, if the Lord does not return, to take up the torch of testimony until he come. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this will be a blessing to all of your hearts.